Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Graham Hart, your host for the next 2 hours. Welcome to People's Internet Radio. Tonight, we've got a very special guest in John Harris. You will all know John from his films and work on the Freeman stuff a few years back. His film, It's an Illusion, I watched a couple of days ago, and it really is a masterpiece. You can look at this now. I looked at it for the first time, and I thought to myself, yeah. And after a few years of experience now, I went back and looked at it a couple of days ago, and it is absolutely brilliant. Nothing's changed. It's a piece of perfection. In fact, I would ask you to go back and watch it again and just see how easily this would come to you. So John will be with us in just a couple of a few minutes' time. First of all, I would just like to mention a couple of movies that I've been made aware of this week. One is Voices from the Gas Fields. I'm going to pop that into the chat room now. This is scary stuff, folks, and you really, really need to watch this. It's quite amazing about fracking and in Australia and in the UK and what effect it's having on our water tables and the environment in general. It's quite remarkable. And the other film, thank you to Brian Smith for giving me this movie to watch, Howlstorm. I think most of you I'm hoping that most of you have had a look at Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. But this film has just been out for a few days now, and the last time I looked, it already had 39,000 views. It's a remarkable film. We know what the Bolsheviks did when they came in to the Reich in from the east, and the horrendous conditions that the German people had to suffer. And this film is to do with what happened from the Western Front, and it is unbelievable. And it's more information for us to throw at people, because while we look around at things like the law, official offer and things like that, there's great remedy out there that we're trying to put out there, and there much has been learned. But if we want to try and get through to the ordinary people, I think one of the things we can use is that the lies that we've been told throughout our lives, and this is a powerful weapon that I think we need to use more. If we want to get to those that are still asleep, for want of a better expression, then tell them about the things that have gone on in the past. It's remarkable. And if we're the good guys of World War II, we certainly weren't. And this film, Howlstorm, shows it from how we behaved in the war, and especially Churchill, who I'm quite happy to say, I got no problems in saying it at all. 3 years ago, when I got into this, I found that, like everyone else, that the greatest man of the 20th century was Winston Churchill. My opinion now, one of the biggest bastards that ever walked the planet. And you will understand why if you watch this film, Howlstorm. So without further ado, I think those two films are absolutely essential viewing for everyone. I do hope you go and see them. And I'm looking for my music list. there it is. And what we'll do now is, as we're running short of time, I know Fiona was late getting on, so we ran over a little bit of time for Fiona. So what we'll do now is a little piece of music, and then we'll bring John Harris on. Well, here we go. For the first time in 3 years, the man speaks publicly. This man introduced me to the Freeman movement and to, well, not the Freeman movement. He started me on the path. Once I'd seen It's an Illusion, I went, wow, and it made me very angry, like we all go through the angry stage to start with. And then from there on, we just move forward. But none of this would have happened, I don't think, until I watched John's film. So without further ado, John, good evening.
Good evening, mate.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a little bit soft, John. That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's great, mate. John, okay. I wanted to start off with asking you, because, like I said, your film was the thing that really switched me on to what's going on in the world. What was it that actually started you off on this path?
A film about 9/11.
Okay.
And a shaking camera in a building, really.
Right. And it went from there.
Yeah, I kind of watched the film. Didn't really take a lot of notice of it, to be quite honest with you. At the time, I was a businessman and more interested in running my business. And, yeah, I'm funny enough, I was given the film, a DVD, by one of my clients' sons, who was in college. In uni, sorry. And he said, have a watch of this. You might find it interesting. You're a builder. So I watched it, and I'll be quite honest with you, I watched it the first time and didn't really, you know, okay. I'd seen the events on the day, and funny enough, I was on the same street about half a mile up on a roof the very day of 9/11, and the client called us down to say, you know, obviously it looked like some sort of Hollywood thing going on, to be quite honest with you. And then when I watched the film, it was like, okay. I watched it again, and I saw this camera shake, and it just, I don't know, I questioned it. Why did that shake? And then I got involved with 7/7, and decided to help the 7th of July team, just doing little bits and pieces. And then I sat at the computer one night and decided, you know, why not create a website? And then just an amazing amount of information came to me that I didn't really understand, to be quite honest with you. But over a period of years, it started to kind of make sense.
Yeah, same for most of us.
And It's an Illusion really was more about, if I look back now at It's an Illusion, I kind of appreciate that what I was really doing that day was trying to say to everybody, if I can see this, how the hell can this be possible? You know, that's really, I kind of did it the wrong way, because I'll be quite honest with you, entering into what I've done over the years was probably the biggest mistake of my life.
Say that again, John.
I would say that entering into what I entered into and understanding what I understand now was possibly the biggest mistake of my life.
In which way?
Because I lost the very thing that I was actually striving to give a better world.
Sure. Yeah.
And to me, nothing was worth that.
No.
Nothing.
No.
No. And I live with the consequences of that now.
Yes, I know. It's tough on everyone. I know it caused a lot of... I wonder how many...
No, Graham, it brought out an egotistical, arrogant fucking monster.
Yeah.
You know, for fuck's sake. I've watched myself on stage, and I've looked at it and gone to myself, what an arrogant cunt. For fuck's sake.
But
I'm glad I can see that, because, you know, it at least gives me the opportunity now in the latter part of my life to actually be able to correct that, you know. So I suppose there is a benefit, but that benefit came with a hell of a price.
Yeah.
And if I'd have known that was the price that I was going to pay.
Yeah, you're talking about your personal life.
Yeah, there was no way that I would have ever gone for it. I would have never have entertained it for a second.
No, no. Well, it is very sad indeed, but my God, it opened so many people's eyes.
Yeah, but I honestly feel now that it's probably done more detriment than it has benefit, you know?
Yes.
I do, because I didn't explain things the way they should have been explained. I should have done it from... I said in the beginning it was a perspective, but I didn't actually carry that perspective out. I kind of delivered it as though it was some form of truth, and I had no right to do that whatsoever. because I couldn't prove any aspect of it. I had evidence that was on the screen, but it still wasn't 100% proof that I was right in what I was suggesting.
But it is, John.
Yeah, aspects of it are, Graham, but not all of it.
Well, the way I look through it, and I can't fault it. I can't fault it all the way through, and it's just perfect sense. And
yeah, but it created so many monsters, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
know? It created three men in the lounge. It created, you know, freeloaders on the land. You know, it created people who had this miscomprehension that they could fucking do anything and get away with it because they were above the fucking law or weren't subject to the law. And some of these people did some pretty fucking horrible things.
You know,
even to the point that people died.
Okay.
That's fucking wrong, mate. That is severely wrong. And if I'm, you know, in some ways responsible for these sort of things happening, I mean, then I didn't do it. I didn't offer my fellow men of service.
No, you didn't. You can't carry that, John. You can't carry that. If the information didn't come out from you, it would have come out from somewhere else. And I'm eternally...
Maybe it would have come out, Graham, in a way that wouldn't have created the monsters it created.
Well, the monster created from performing on stage, that's the time the ego switch on. The ego has got to switch on when you're on stage. If it doesn't come across. And you're a great orator. And if there has to be a certain amount of ego when you're on that stage, is leaving it there when you come off. That's the hard part.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, at one time I used to look at it and I used to say, yeah, it was my ego and it weren't my fault. And then I realised that basically humanity created this thing called the ego just to give something else the blame for its own fucking insidious actions. So I am to blame. I don't blame my ego. My ego is not a separate part of me that has some fucking form of control over my life. I have a fucking choice. And I made... over this last 5 months, some very, 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 not just disturbing choices, but actually some very ludicrous choices. But at every moment of that, I cannot blame anyone bar myself because I had a fucking choice. I had a choice whether I got on that stage that day. And if I could go back in time, I would have never got on that stage. I would never have, because that was... that. Created. Do you know what, Graham? I've been recognised recently, and most of the time I put my head down and say, no, I'm just a plumber.
Yeah.
I don't want to be known for what I've done. I don't want... It's very difficult for me, Graham, as you know. I hold humanity in contempt. Okay, all of it. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I do. And I'm not being... I'm trying not to be arrogant about this, but I am fucking sickened to the core with how fucking obvious things have been made over the last 1,000 years. You know, how obvious it is that Einstein stated, you know, the very act of stupidity is to do the same things over and over again, exactly the same way, expecting a different fucking outcome. Mm. You know, and that's basically what we've seen for pretty much, you know, the most of history that we can go back to, as far as we can go back. There is no fucking difference. Nothing has ever got better. We think we're so fucking advanced. But you know what? The very simple things that existed 3,000 years ago in ancient Egypt, i.e. poverty, class separation, status-driven social structure, none of that's changed. None of it.
No, but I think it is. I think it's going to change. I think it has to change, just through straight evolution.
I think
it will change organically.
I think there is some very wishful thinking regarding that subject, yes, I do, and I admire people's optimism, but I'm afraid at this moment in time, you know, humanity is too fucking stupid to change. It doesn't know. It's so self-absorbed and so self-obsessed with itself and not the place it lives or the place it inhabits. Always, you know, it basically, it's like, well, I don't care, I'm all right. Sodgy Jack, I'm okay.
Sure.
Apathy reigns. You know, I said a long time ago, and it's really, really true, that there's a little reason why there's a little A between pathetic and apathetic.
Yeah.
It's all that separates it, because if you look at that, we are pathetic. We are. We think we're so fucking clever, when actually, no, we're not. We're just stupid. And because of that reason, and because of my stupidity, because what the stupidity... I'm a great... How can I say? I understand, I suppose, that the only way that you actually see something in someone else is when you realise it in yourself. Or sometimes you see something in someone else and you actually do realise that you're the same. So there's always a duality being presented. And that duality has been presented for all time. And for some reason, we have decided that we just will do the same things over and over and over and over again, regardless of the consequences, regardless of what we do to this beautiful place where we fucking inhabit.
Hmm.
You know, I'm living evidence of that. I took something that was incredibly beautiful and I fucking destroyed it. I didn't only destroy it, I fucking put it through a mangle.
Hmm.
And why did I do that? Because I thought I was better. Because I thought I was something fucking special.
Well, it didn't come across as you were something special, John. I don't think... I think you're...
No, I did it in the time, but if you look at the other films that I've made and you look at my... And you talk to people who know me now, especially my family, they'll tell you the truth of me. I'm not a nice man, Graham.
Yes, you are, and it will come right.
No, I'm not a nice man. I've never been... I was a nice man until this all happened. There was aspects of me that were wonderful, but these aspects have been destroyed by my need to be someone special. And the honest truth is, a lot of the talks that I did in the latter parts were more about the finances I could raise. And someone said that, funny enough, when I was in Birmingham, they said, you're a builder. You ain't got no work this time of year. There's no wonder you're doing talks. And how fucking true was he? Because he was a bricklayer. So he fucking knew exactly. And I was doing it also for the entertainment value.
It's a buzz, John. It's a buzz being on the stage.
I do get a lot of fun taking... I'm not... You know, and... Sometimes for the wrong reason.
Well, it says here, Lee has written down, if it's any consolation, John, the world system is fucked and has been fucked for a very long time. Don't kick yourself too much. And Pat has written, Pat Felden, who hosts Scotland is Free on Monday nights with some great information. John's information started me on this journey. So you started a lot of people, and I've no regrets. I've had times when I've been extremely angry, but I've no regrets taking this road. And once you, you know, as we say, once you put the glasses on, you can't take them off. And I've no interest in taking them off, because there has to be remedies somewhere within this system.
Well, I'll tell you something, Graham. I'm going to tell you something. I want to explain something. I'm not going to go into it very deeply.
No, of course.
But for the last 2 years, I've been kind of looking... I spent a long time looking at the powers that be. I decided to start looking at the people who were against the powers that be. And I found out some very alarming things about certain individuals who are expressing views about or collecting, how can I say, people up to do their deeds. I found out some very, very alarming things. And I suddenly realised that I was probably surrounded more by what I was against within the very movement I was part of than actually what the movement was against. And I found that heartbreaking and disturbing.
I think there was a lot of people getting on the bandwagon, the ego bandwagon at the start. I think that has sort of settled down now.
No, unfortunately, mate, it's gone completely the other way. There's more of it than you could possibly imagine. I must admit, with what I found out and the people I've been working with to delve deeply into things, what we have found out if it did actually come out, it would, in some ways, people wouldn't believe it because it's too obvious for them to believe.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from there.
I don't like obvious. and I don't like people who state the obvious, and that's what I seem to do. I state the obvious. You know, I was actually talking to someone yesterday, and they said to me, "Oh, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that." And I said, "Well, you know, the way of the world, and this goes on, and that goes on." And I said, "Well, okay, you don't understand it. What don't you understand about it?" And I said, "What?" I said, "Okay." They were saying, "Well, yeah, why it happens?" And I said, "Okay, well, let's look at this in duality slightly." I said, "Give me a reason why you think someone would do this. Just one reason." And obviously, the obvious one is for power. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Because people do things for power, and they do very heinous and insidious things for power. I said, but in the duality of that, you can also see that someone's trying to state the obvious. Someone out there is actually saying, "Look, you fucking lot are slaves to a group of individuals who are actually slaves to them, to their beliefs and their need for monetary possessions." I said, and you've been given every chance to realise this. Every chance to realise you've been told for hundreds, if not thousands of years, the cure. It's there on a fucking plate for the taking. And not one of you, have turned around and gone, "Hold on a minute. This is really simple. All we've got to do is this." And I've said it so many times. I've tried to explain it so many times. And people don't get it. And then all I get is, "Oh, well, you're just being arrogant because you think you know best." Well, actually, do you know what? It's not me being arrogant, because it is actually the most probable and plausible possibility that exists in all the infinite possibilities that exist. If you bother your ass, just realise for 2 seconds that you've actually been given the answer. You were given it thousands of years ago. You just don't fucking realise that the answer that was given has a dual purpose. You don't have to accept the way it was given to you. It can do the opposite of what has been suggested. And that's what we forget.
Okay.
And people are not... they're not ready to accept that they are not clever enough to sort this out. That by thinking, we're going to solve the problems that were caused by thinking in the first place. It's that never-ending circle of, "I know best." And I am guilty of that. I am so guilty of that. But I have seen something that I feel and know, I suppose, in my heart would work. How the hell I get other people to realise it, or even to start the process of wanting to realise it, is beyond me. And in fact, I can't be asked anymore. Graham, I've been trying to knock down a wall with a toffee hammer. And for all the years I've been fucking knocking at this wall, there's a tiny little mark in it. And I looked at that mark and went, "For fuck's sake, is that it? Is that all that has actually been achieved through all that I've lost?"
Yeah. I understand from your personal perspective, but
my personal perspective is my perspective because there is nothing else. If I could do such horrible things to the ones I love, what would I possibly be capable of to the people I don't love? Now, if I don't change, if I don't actually look at myself and say, "Hold on a minute, I need to change. I need to actually become the man, this wonderful, benevolent, loving human being, and not this parasitic fucking monster that I have been." If I can't start that process now, then what will become of me? Or what will I be capable of? And there are certain things, there are certain people in this world that I choose to offer amnesty to because of what they've done. Well, that's the man offering the amnesty, the forgetfulness. That's not that monster. That monster will wipe them off the face of the fucking planet. In a blink of an eye. And there'll be no conscience about it either. And that's the difference. That's what I need to go. That aspect of me. And I've got a funny feeling through the process I'm going through now, if it doesn't go by its own means, it will be beaten out of me. because that's how I feel at this moment in time. I am literally having the shit kicked out of me.
Yeah.
I've never felt like this before in my life. And I am not, you know, I'm not the victim in this. I'm not the victim. I am the consequence of my victims.
Hmm.
Because I now suffer their pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've been researching other stuff, John. I mean, I know my friend, you're going through such a tough time at the moment. But during these past 3 years since you gave up, moved out of the public eye, you've been researching some other stuff, and I believe to do with Cornwall.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah, well, I've managed over, I don't know how I've done this, but I've been writing the memoirs of the Antichrist for about 3 years. Okay. And the version that's on the website is only a small glimpse of what the actual story is about.
This is on TPUC, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's there, but it's just a very small version of it. It's a very condensed version of it. So what I've decided to do, and I don't know why it's happened now, I've decided to actually expand the story to the point that it will be ready to publish in about 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
And that is coming out. There's a website. We start the process of getting on the website and everything sorted out tomorrow. I've spoken to my dear friend who will be doing that for me. We'll start that process. There's also another friend who's helping with sort of some other aspects of the book that need to be sorting out. But the book is coming out, and I've got a feeling it must be the right time to bring this story out, because this story, as far as I'm aware, has never been told before. And it is just a story.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for one second that I want to really, really put that across, because people don't seem to fucking listen. I remember when we were in Penzance.
So do I.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, that I remember after.
Yeah, that is the afterwards that I remember, or should I say I don't remember?
It was the, more to the point, don't remember.
John, could you give us a little bit more on your mic?
Yeah, how's that, mate? Sorry. It's because it's a headset, and it's not very good.
All right, there's a bit of an earth loop there somewhere as well. But yeah, if you could give us a little bit more, the chat room's asking if you could give a little bit more.
I can try. I don't quite know how I'm going to do it. But how's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's sounding good to me. Well,
okay. Yeah, I can actually hear you better as well.
Okay, mate.
I don't know if that's a good thing though. I'm joking.
No, thanks very much. Yeah, the check's in the post. Well, talk about having a laugh, John. Let's have a laugh. Let's lighten things up for a minute. The captain he's in the chat box tonight. Hi, the captain. He's been asking me from one of our brothers, the greatest comedian that Cornwall has ever produced, Jethro.
Yeah.
And I've been looking around for the piece that made him famous and put Camborne on the map, because no one knew where Camborne was before the train stopped there Wednesday. So didn't stop there Wednesday, I should say. So I've actually found it for you, Captain, but the quality of the track is not brilliant, but it's certainly good enough. So
hold on, no one knew where Camborne was, but one of the most famous Cornish poets is buried there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
excuse me, who happens to carry a name that resembles mine.
Yes, he does. John Harris is buried about, as the crow flies, about 200 yards from where I live.
Exactly. No one knows that, mate.
No. Well, I do.
Yeah, you do now.
The wife knows. No fucker else does. But,
no. I don't know his most famous fucking poem over.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a second, John. Let's listen to the gag that put Jethro on the map. Just to digress a little bit, John, Lee has asked again, a question. Can John explain why he thinks it was really a mistake? His talk, that is.
Well, it's what I said. It's what he created.
Yeah.
That's, and obviously what has happened to me.
Yeah, the problems that it created for you personally.
Yeah, and also the problems it created out. You know, and I, if you go on YouTube and you just watch some of the videos of some of these people, you know, just because we decided that, you know, we don't agree to the governance or the way that the governance of this island or the world is controlled, does not mean that we are void of the responsibility of using fucking manners.
Hmm. Okay.
And all you've got to do is go and look. Just go and look and listen. Listen to these people. That's what happened. And that is just not cool. It's not cool at all. In fact, it's far from fucking cool.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that have led people up the wrong way, John, but I think it's their actions they take from the information given. It's how they, you know, digest it and what they do with it.
I do agree with you.
I know a lot of people that, you know, they're into this stuff for like 10 months, 6 months, and they think they know it all. And they're on, they're giving people advice, and I think, bloody hell, this is wrong.
Well, I've been doing it how long now? Fuck knows, I don't know.
But it's not wrong, John.
8 years, 9 years, and I know fucking nothing. So, if you think you know it all, I promise you, you know fuck all.
Okay.
Because, seriously, it actually is far simpler than you could possibly imagine, in my opinion. And that's actually what brought me down to earth with a fucking big bump. Just recently, is the fact that I realised that there is nothing complicated about any of this. There's nothing complicated about how this is disseminated.
No.
Nothing at all. It's really, really simple. And all I had to do was look for the most obvious and simplest solutions to everything. And funny enough, it kind of... It stares at you, but you just don't see it because you require the complicated in some ways to make you sound like you do know what you're fucking talking about. And that's horrible to say, but I've met so many people who actually explain things the most complicated way, and I'm probably guilty of this as well, when in fact it could be said so much simpler.
Well, yeah, I can understand you thinking it could be explained so much simpler because, as I said, when I watched your film 3 years ago, I'm going, you know, what? What? It was a hell of a shock. But looking at it again as I did last week, John, it just looks so simple now that I'm more experienced in the ways of the world. Well, going back to or moving forward to where we was with your book, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
The book is just called Memoirs of the Antichrist. It's an alternate, I suppose it's a very condensed rewrite of the biblical story, but in a version that is without any stretch of the imagination. Plausible, probable, and certainly without any hocus pocus or feats of, how can I say, things that are not possible by any stretch of the imagination. It does involve Cornwall. It involves I've called the island Laos, the land of the lions.
Yeah.
Laos.
Right.
Yes. Land of the Lions. And the story starts in Edinburgh, in Scotland.
Right.
And culminates in Cornwall. So it does actually cover the sort of like the distance between that and just about one man telling the truth. But I remember talking to a member of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. He was a monk in the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. And he told me a little story that which actually gave me the start of this.
Yeah.
Kind of he gave me the start of it, and I decided to call it Memoirs of the Antichrist for a very specific reason, because of how the end will be. And I've decided that it is definitely going to be sold for £6.66.
I love that. I love that. But it was the connections with Cornwall that I was very interested in, John.
Yeah, well, it's...
to do with the mount.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very specific connections, and a lot of the Cornish... I know a lot of the Cornish are, how can I say, bemused by the Catholicism, that, you know, the way that Cornwall was Catholicised. And the evidence of that is to look that every other place you go is called St. something.
Yeah.
The fact that in 500 AD, two fishermen allegedly saw an apparition of St. Michael on top of the mount, and thus it got called St. Michael's Mount. But I am quite positive in the fact that when I say that most of the Cornish just call it the mount.
Yeah.
They don't actually use the St. Michael's part of it, because deep down inside, I'm sure they know an alternative story. William Blake touched on this story. You know, he did them feet in ancient times walk across part on, you know, sort of England's green and pleasant pastures. John Dee, obviously Queen Elizabeth's first lead advisor, touched on this stuff. Many, John Harris, the Cornish poet, touched on this stuff. And many of these men were, and women were, ostracized, if not put to death, for having the gall to basically validate why 50 Templar on the 13th of October, short of 1309, were accused of heresy and blasphemy. Because they held to the same story.
Right.
So, yeah, obviously the book comes out in a couple of weeks. It's going to be, for anyway, it's very short. It's about 69 pages. it's very short, but, you know.
Some interesting numbers here, John.
Yeah.
6, 6, 6, 69.
I promise you, they're all fucking deliberate. I would have, Graham, I might have had 71 pages, but I just don't fancy a finger up my arse.
I think what people don't know, John, that you were born on the mount.
Yeah, that's alleged. I'm not going to say, I can't say it's absolutely 100% because it is alleged, but I have information that suggests that, put it that way. I can't give any physical evidence. There's no way I could say, yes, there's the evidence, I was. But I have a lot of information that does suggest that it is the case. So, and whenever I talk to anybody about this sort of subject, I always say allegedly.
Okay.
I'd never ever have claimed that that is the absolute, because there is no way that I could claim that. And in some ways, at this moment in time, possibly because of the way I'm feeling, none of that seems to matter anyway at the moment.
Yeah.
I think. I just want to be Joe Average. Completely,
yeah.
Joe Average, you know, and just go out and sort plumbing systems out and do plumbing and just be a normal guy for a while.
Yeah.
Probably forever. Yeah, I'd like to be. The only reason I really would like to finish this book, and possibly the second book as well, which are actually coming out backwards, and I do apologise for that. They're going to come out the other way, but it probably will work this way. Sometimes you have to read the conclusion before you read out, and you get to the conclusion. I've always wanted to. If I actually do complete this book, and it is published in 2 weeks' time, and I hold a physical copy of it in my hand, it's probably about the only thing I've actually achieved in my life.
Well, I would totally disagree with that, John, and I know a lot of people will as well. I know you're in a bad place at the moment, brother, and my heart's with you, but I think...
Well, it's not... Do you know what the biggest thing about this, Graham, is what I try to explain to everybody. This is not because of the way that I feel. This is because of the way I've made others feel.
Yeah. Well...
Difference. I'm not feeling sorry for myself because I've lost everything that meant the world to me. I'm feeling sorry because I hurt them and made them feel the way that they do. That's what, and that's the difference, because normally it would be completely self-centered. And this is not self-centered at all. I've tried to express that.
Yeah.
I have hurt people so badly that they're not even willing to listen to any form of explanation. They're not, when I talk to them, they talk to me like I'm a piece of shit. And do you know what? I deserve that. And I'm talking about my own family.
I think...
And I deserve that, and I get this from the internet as well. I get people from the internet, oh, you were wrong, you were this, and you said, yeah, okay, yeah, granted, you are entitled to your opinion. I don't have to agree with it, obviously, but you are entitled to raise any opinion you feel fit to raise. You can say anything you want to me. I have one thing in my defence, and there's only one thing I can say in my defence. At least people started to think.
Yeah.
If anything, that's all it did was just say, you started to think and you start to question. And if that's all really that came from it that was of any benefit to anybody, then I suppose, yeah, there was some purpose for it. But it's regardless of that, if I could go back in time, I would never have done it.
Right. But you're not debunking what you've said.
Quite honest with you, Graham, I don't remember half the things that I said anyway. So, I can't really suggest. Yeah, of course. I suppose if I watched it through and sat with you and said, yeah, well, that, I'm sure that I could point out probably 75% of it and debunk it. But at the same time, there are aspects of it that are, without doubt, very evidently true.
Yeah.
And that kind of shocked me a little bit, because the thing is, as we're growing up, right, we have this trust. We're given it by our parents. We're given this trust.
Yeah.
So we trust. We, you know, for argument's sake, millions of people out there trust politicians. And when you suggest that they are nothing more than professional liars, they are quite offended by that. Mm. Even though the absolute truth is they are professional liars. They even admit they're professional liars, as one did recently on the television. Edwina Curry admitted she used to be a professional liar for a living.
Yeah. Without
and,
doubt.
You know, so we trust. And unfortunately, we generally trust in what we've been told to trust in, if not coerced to trust them.
Yeah.
And it's only later in life that, for some of us, that we suddenly realise that what we were trusted in is not trustworthy whatsoever. But there are so many others out there who will go to them ballots, you know, who basically still trust. And I kind of worked out a little while ago that you don't actually have to change humanity. All you need to do is change its environment and it will adapt. We seem to have this unique ability of being able to adapt to any sort of environment or situation, regardless of what. We just seem to be able to do it. It's one of our greatest strengths, I'm sure of it. So I kind of worked out, well, if you just change the world around humanity, you just don't try to change. I've got a section of the book where I've been writing today, and it talks about the religious indifference and the fact that there is no unification between groups who have religious indifferences, which is absolutely true. So if you take the 26 recognized religions across the world, and you take an individual from each of them religions and sit them in the room, they're already void of unification or any form of understanding of a process to move forward because they're individually separated by their religions.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking at things going, well, hold on a minute. So let's look at religion in a different way now. Let's see how it's progressed. Yes, people are leaving the church by the droves, but yes, we have still got a multi-god syndrome going on because they're now seeing football players and film stars and as gods.
Absolutely, John, yeah.
You know, and what we have to remember is that we went from worshipping fire to worshipping invisible beings in the sky, and then obviously then worshipping individuals on the earth who we would most possibly like to be like.
Yeah.
You know, well, that describes, that actually puts an onus on humanity and actually gives humanity a very, very poignant name. And that is primitive.
I agree. But wouldn't you say that's down to the way we were educated?
No.
Not at all?
No, because, yes, it's down to the trust. It's like, no, education is a process, obviously, that is used to reinforce the doctrine of 210 political regimes across 197 countries of the world. You know, that is how the religious political regime exists, because obviously through the schooling processes. But just because we are schooled that way does not mean we have to stay within the school.
No, but what I've heard is, and it seems about right to me, 3% of the world are psychopaths, 8% can't be programmed, and the rest will go with the flow. It's the 8% that are, or are questioning things, and it's the mass majority that are not. And I think this is where the problem is.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I can just see where you're coming from, and I do appreciate the fact that, you mean, aspects of education and aspects of, are very detrimental to people. They do give people false complexes and false understandings of things that, you know, are only set in place for a minority's benefit. Yes, I understand that completely. But throughout these processes, there still exist choices. And it still exists duality. Duality is presented to us on a daily basis. Every single day we are presented. Now, I don't want to face the fact that humanity has slipped into such a primitive state it actually only sees life in singularity. I don't want to anticipate that, because if that is the case, then, oh my days, are they in for a fucking shock.
Yeah.
Because there is a shock, I'm sure, around the corner. I mean, I'm not 100% sure how this shock is going to come about. I don't understand its complexity, or I don't understand it in entirety. In fact, if I'm honest, I don't understand any aspect of it whatsoever. I just have this strange feeling that, I don't know, there is an overwhelming change about to happen, but I don't quite know how that's going to manifest into our lives. Better luck, I don't know, someone might be sat at a Mac and design an app where you can fucking click this app, and when you click this app, you know, we wake up tomorrow morning and no one remembers war and religion and all the other shit that humanity's created to basically self-destruct.
That would be nice.
You know, maybe there's someone who could create that app. Maybe we can put I'm sure someone will give them remuneration for obviously doing something like that. But, you know, I'm sure there's an app we can get. I'm sure Apple are working on something like that. There must be. There seems to be working on apps for every fucking other aspect of life. So I'm sure, you know, that would be a very interesting app to work on. You know, we seem to, this is what our lives are becoming, apps. Applications, which is a very interesting word.
Yeah. Well, I think it's got to be...
Graham, is this not going how you really thought it was going to go?
Pardon?
Is this not going how you really thought it was going to go?
Well, I... yes, it's...
I can hear the disappointment, despondentness in your voice, mate.
No, I'm not despondent. I mean, I have my down days when I think, you know...
I know you do.
When is this ever going to come right? But this year, I do see a huge crash in the economy. It's got to go. The economy's got to crash. It was designed to crash. And I think it could be later this year.
That's really funny, because actually it was never designed to crash. It was designed to evolve, yes. It was never designed to crash. You wouldn't design something.
Well, it's crashed many times, John.
It hasn't, actually. It hasn't crashed many times. It's just given the image of it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's only to create panic.
Yeah. Well, they can just pull money out of the system whenever they want.
Well, they can add it and take it away as they want, because basically, as we, you know, many people are aware, they just create this stuff. Willy-nilly anyway, so you know, I mean, they can basically take noughts away and add noughts, and they can do, as you know, basically money nowadays is more neutrons on computer screens than it is physical commodity, you know, a physical commodity, i.e. paper or coins in our pocket. And yes, there's a lot of manipulation goes on daily, and they can manipulate it, because in the end, if they do go to what, you know, if we did move to a cashless society, which there obviously would be an ideal scenario for these people, then obviously they would have you by the balls. They would literally have you by the balls. It would be the easiest way of actually controlling humanity. It's always been known as the easiest way of controlling humanity is through obviously monetary supplies.
But do you not see the police state shutting coming in around you, John? The way the police handle people in the street now, the way they're beating people up in this country, the amount of people being killed in America is more than it's being killed in the conflicts abroad.
I've heard a lot about this. I've not seen much of it, but I've heard a lot about it. People tell me about things every day. So yeah, I can see, you know, obviously people are becoming quite alarmed with this, but it's not really changed from what it always was. There's always aspects of this going on. It's just that they've become more in people's faces, whereas before it was more in the shadows.
Well, that's it. That's it, that it is so much in their face now, although...
Well, did you see what I said earlier about the duality of the obvious?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you know, how much more do you want? How much more... Do you know how I work things out, Graham, when I'm looking at things? Do you know how I work things out?
No.
Right. Well, what I do is I put myself in their position, what I do is think about how I would do it. How would I do it if I was them?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the 8%. I think the 8% do that.
Yeah, we look at it. So, well, I actually say to myself, okay, so if I wanted to control humanity and I wanted them all to be slaves, which they fucking are slaves, but you know, they won't lie there, but they fucking are. Same as I am and you are, and we're all slaves at this moment. And so if I wanted to enslave humanity, how would I do it? And what services would I employ? Now, and then I look at it and say, well, hold on a minute. Let's say, I was like a good guy, and I was within a group of individuals who had the ability to shape world affairs, and I wanted to make things so fucking obvious to everybody that, yeah, you've really gone fucking wrong, you know, come on, we need to, you know, look at the way that we live our lives, and we need to sort of start to correct things, and, you know, come on, it's about time we did it. How would I do that? Well, yeah, if they can't accept that they are slaves, then make their slavery even more prominent to them. Mm. And keep doing it until such time as they go, fuck me, I'm a slave. Thank you, at last, you get it. Now what would you like to do about that?
Yeah.
You know, it's really... So I kind of look at it that way. Yeah, that's... If I was the head of the cartel and I was the one who was enslaving humanity to all these political regimes, fuck me, it'd be a lot worse than this. Fucking hell, because you're so gullible, you fucking practically get you to do anything. Well, and it is ridiculous, the fucking things that human beings do, because they are so fucking stupid. Well, myself included in that. And I never, ever, not for one second before anyone gets in that checkbox and starts slagging me off because I think I'm better than everybody else. I'm not. I actually, everything I say, I class myself within as well. And I actually, possibly, am worse than most of the people I'm describing. I just want to get that straight before people start jumping on me.
Well, to be quite
honest with you, at this moment in time, you can jump on me all you want, because all you'll get is, what part of fuck off do you not understand?
Yeah, I don't think no one's telling you that, John. You've done too much. I think you really underestimate what you've done for the movement.
I've got no patience for them at the moment. I'm sorry, Graham.
I'm interviewing you while you're in this place, John, which is interesting.
I like the way you say interesting. Well, like, for fuck's sake, what a twat. He comes down the fucking Cornwall, he's meant to talk about free man stuff, and he tells everybody he's going to be the next fucking king.
Well,
and then he comes on the radio and he's just a miserable cunt.
Well, no, not at all. It makes it does make it interesting. there's a question Laurie asked, and this is a very simple yes or no, really. Were you offered payment to shut up?
Absolutely, categorically, no.
That's what I thought, John. That's what I thought.
Even if I was, I wouldn't have accepted it, because I absolutely have no price whatsoever.
No, me neither. And I don't think that
they could offer me, and the reason there is nothing that they could offer me is because there is nothing that they have that I want.
Okay.
It's funny, actually, people have asked me this before. They've actually said to me once before, was you offered money to shut up? Have you been offered the black credit card, bloody black passport, all the other shit that you get? I know people who have been offered them. Funny enough, I was talking to one yesterday, a gentleman who's been offered them exact things. I also know another gentleman who doesn't live a million miles away from where I am now, and he's been offered the same things as well. No one has ever come forward and offered me. I don't think I've ever been that much of a threat, because they actually thought I was just fucking a lunatic, to be quite honest with you. You know, I quite openly told everybody that I've been in an asylum for a year when I was 14 to 15. And in some ways, that possibly was my greatest protection, because they do actually just see me as a loony.
Yeah.
You know, even though, obviously, a lot of people have said the things I've said and done things similar to me, they still see me as my writings are the ramblings of a madman. I quite often get told that I am the worst writer on the planet, blah, 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 blah. You know, I actually wish these people would actually tell me something that I don't fucking know. But unfortunately, they don't seem to have the capability or the intelligence to muster any form of insult that is not actually true. So that's quite interesting.
Right.
I'm quite happy to get the insults, because the insults highlight sometimes what a fucking arsehole I can be.
Well, I've yet to see it, John. I really have. I don't think no one sees you as an asshole, and those who are, they're bloody trolls anyway. Jimmy asked, what is John...
Trip trap over the bridge. I swear, every time someone says that word, I get this image of
I'm a false holy roll.
Yeah. Goat trip trapping over the fucking bridge. Sorry.
So Jimmy asks, what is John debunking? We need to know what he is debunking. Well, you're not debunking anything, John, are you?
Well, no, I haven't debunked anything, really, because I can't remember what I fucking said.
Well, while you can, John, I think this would be a good time to take a little break here and
And I didn't want to be as rude to have a cigarette while I was talking to you. I am actually sipping a red wine, and I'm about two-thirds down the bottom, so possibly by the end of this conversation, I'll be pissed.
Well, that's
so
okay.
It could get even more fucking interesting.
Well, that's right.
Or even more... Yeah, you might get a little bit more of John Harris feeling fucking sorry for himself.
No.
I don't I want to reiterate, I do not feel sorry for myself. I do feel sorry for the individuals, and they know who they are, that I've hurt. And I've hurt them in ways that are horrible. Not in any violent way.
No.
But the fact that, you know, I've broken their hearts, and I've hurt them, and it's going to take a long time to heal, if it is actually possible to heal.
Well, it will heal, John. It will.
But there is something profound happening, and I tell you, once we've had a break, how long is this break for, by the way?
Oh, how long do you want, John? I got some great tunes.
Same time next week.
Now, you keep going, brother. You're doing fabulous. We're really, this is really interesting. For the people you've hurt, of course, only you can relate to that. But absolutely. I would like to say, you've got to remember how many people you've inspired as well, John, me included. So, for people that you've caused problems for, there's a hell of a lot of people around the world that love you, me included. Here's Carly Simon. You're listening to The Graham Hart Show on People's Internet Radio every Tuesday. My special guest tonight is John Harris. The chat box is going nuts. It's so busy, John. I'm going to have to read backwards. Where are we? Excuse me. Where is the idealistic John Harris gone? Did he get it so wrong he can't face the truth and explain where he feels he went wrong? Well,
I kind of explained that I don't remember, so it's very hard to, suggest where I went wrong without actually having it. I'll tell you what we'll do one night, Graham. We'll have It's an Illusion in front of us.
Yeah.
And we'll play it. And then on every aspect, we'll stop it and I'll say, well, that's where I went wrong, and that's where I went wrong, and that's where I went wrong, and that's possibly right, but there again, that could be seen in a different way, blah, blah, blah. If they'd like us to do that, then we'll do that.
Okay, that would be good. That would be good. I'm still scrolling back through here.
So that many?
Yeah, well, but there's a few. They're making comments as well, but there are questions, and I'm getting very, very few in capitals, but that's okay. Why did your supporters feel your first book had nothing to do what you promised it to be? Now, I can't comment on this, John, because
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, my first book I scrapped. There's a bit of history to this, actually. I wrote a very factual book. Excuse me. And then realised that it would take me longer to reference every fact than it would actually to write the book. And I also felt there was a very, very great element of my arrogance coming through in the book as well, which I didn't really like. So, and then I had this, for want of a better description, I suppose, realization that the greatest things that have ever played a part in humanity's enslavement to this social structure that we have sort of accepted that is the only way that life can be is stories. Not stories that can offer any form of basis in fact, just simple stories that seem to somehow gain a form of consensus and then somehow become unquestionable fact. So it seems that it's stories that actually are more powerful than actually stating a fact about a subject.
Okay.
And the evidence of that is the world we live in right now, which is based on a story that cannot be verified or proven to be true or not true, and that is the genius of the story, because it cannot be proven to be not true, and vice versa, it can't be proven to be true. So the creators of the story can quite easily state, well, you can't prove it's not this, so tough.
Okay. I've got another question from Lee. What does John currently believe he's functioning under as a system? And has he any solutions to change it for one that works properly without self-enslavement or debt slavery?
Oh, how long have you got?
25 minutes.
No, no. I can sum it up by changing the fact that we live in equity, and basically that needs to be changed to equality under the basis of getting rid of malignant law and changing that for benign law.
Yeah. God's law.
No, benign law. If you want to talk about such entities that are the mental disease of the believers of such stories, then you will find that God's law is certainly not benign. It is certainly malignant.
Well, I look at God's law as the creator. The law of the creator, do no harm. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, I suppose, unfortunately, in the world we live in, that doesn't translate as that, Graham, unfortunately. Unless that is I know exactly where you're coming from, and I see where you're coming from, but that word is seen as something completely different. And as long as that word is used in any shape, form or fashion, then the meaning that was allotted to it in the first place will always be the meaning that most will see.
Yeah, but you're talking about God, not the creator.
The
word God.
Yeah, the word itself, yes. The word itself is a very powerful word, deliberately designed that way as well, which is even more fascinating if you actually care to look into the etymology of how that came about.
Right.
You do know the word God comes from the word good?
No, I do now.
Well, I'm not saying I'm right, but what I'm saying, that was a bit of fucking Cornish coming out. I'm also right. But,
it's all right. I got to put up with Irish on here. I'm grabbing the Irish dialect now, so they're gradually grabbing mine. You know, especially if I pay a bit of Jethro every now and then.
You know, it will happen. You know, it's got to happen. You know, we do sort of like subject ourselves to different dialects, and we do sort of copy it. We can't happy because we can't have stop that from happening, because at the base of us we are mimics. We do mimic things, unfortunately. We find it very, very difficult to find our true selves, if you like, because we are constantly mimicking.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. That's the genius of the system. Because you just set up a load of mimics.
Yeah.
And they just mimic each other. And they never ever fucking solve anything. It's just go round in fucking circles, like sitting in a council meeting, or sitting in houses of parliament, or sitting anywhere where a group of human beings are trying to fucking agree on something.
Yeah. After what John's been through, has he any solutions on moving forward? Why did he get rid of his forum? Was it the trolls?
Why did he get rid of the forum?
Yeah.
Because it was a pain in the fucking ass.
Right. Okay.
There's a load of fucking idiots talking about bollocks.
Yeah.
And I'm not being rude when I say that, but for fuck's sake. You know, I mean, it's funny enough, I watched a film recently called Kingsman, and there was a quote in the film which was very, very interesting, because it said, "Manners maketh man." And then I referred back to the forum, and I kind of thought to myself, well, there you go. Obviously, they don't understand that concept, because I, out of probably 100% of the posts that are on that forum, you were lucky if you had 5% where people actually use manners.
Right, yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, that again, for me, comes back to people, they study it for a few months, and they think they bloody know it all.
Yeah, it's also sort of like, how can I say, the miscomprehension of thinking one is better than someone else, and you don't have to use manners because of their lesser status than you.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I see that every day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
Sad. Yeah,
it is indeed. Delamitri, expand on benign law, please.
Benign law works on the theory that we have a second nature and not just one nature. And the second nature, you must have heard you saying, oh, it'll become second nature. Well, that saying was designed exactly for that reason, for you to realise that. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for argument's sake, we had the ability to create laws tomorrow and we decided that we're going to create a law that makes everybody be polite. And if you're not polite to each other, then you could be arrested and punished for not being polite. Well, in the end, most people out there in the world do obey the laws, so they would adopt this naturally. But because it is an aspect of us that is a natural aspect to be kind and polite to each other, then in the end we would do it naturally under a second nature, thus the law itself would not be needed anymore and would become benign.
Right.
That's benign law. It works on the very nature. So the law is designed around our nature to help us to do the things that we would normally do naturally if we didn't have a group of individuals telling us what to think, say or do that is constantly malignant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, where does John Harris go from here now? And that's my question, John. Where do you see yourself going from now? Obviously, you want to sort your life out and your personal problems, and I'm sure they'll come right, John. I really am. But what are you're going to finish the book now? How is that going to be made available, by the way?
There's a website coming up. I don't know when that will be, probably Friday. There's a website coming online, Memoirs of the Antichrist, that will be accessible through TPC and a number of other outlets. The book will be a physical book. We're offering a hardback copy, we're offering a paperback copy, and we're also offering an ebook.
Great.
As far as I'm aware, it possibly is going to the other outlets, i.e. Amazon and Kindle. I'm not really getting involved, I'm not really doing any of that, so I don't quite know how it's being marketed, but it's being marketed in every avenue we can obviously market it, because I would like the book to get banned. The reason I'd like it to get banned is because more people will want to read it.
Exactly.
And it is harsh. You know, I mean, for the religious ones of you out there who have some miscomprehension of a certain individual called history called Jesus Christ, you might want to cover your ears, because in this book he is a murderer and he kills his own brother in cold blood.
Sounds fascinating.
It is a really fascinating story. I'll be quite honest with you. I've read the story over, and I'm kind of proofreading it myself. So you're going to have to, anyone who gets the book and you've ever read anything that I write, you'll know that my grammar is absolutely atrocious, that my spelling sometimes is atrocious. So if you can get yourself past the grammatical issues of the book, it is not a lesson in perfect prose. It is just a book from a working class lad who feels the need to tell a story that, for some reason, has never been told before.
Right. Okay. Well, I've got, someone says, UK Prep, sorry I've not come across John before, but can say he's wrong in my time on TNS MSI PIR. My gain is the official offer used and workings and won parking tickets three times and other things. So solutions are the way.
Yeah, yeah. If you know, obviously, you know, and if that's what you feel is the right thing, then obviously that's what you should be doing. Fair play to you.
Well, everyone's unique.
Yeah,
No one's better at being themselves than us.
That's what I mean. And in that uniqueness, you can't change humanity. But what you can do is use that uniqueness to allow them to adopt to a different way.
Yeah.
You change their environment. You don't change them because they're unique and you can't change them.
Sure. Sure.
And they really are unique. Yeah, there is no doubt about that. I mean, we are unique individuals, every single one of us.
Yeah, we are indeed. No one's better at being ourselves than ourselves. We're all unique, and we need to respect each other. I think people in the chat box, John, don't understand, and I do as a performer, and you have been a performer, whether you like the word or not. Once you're on that stage, you're doing a gig.
I'll be quite honest with you. I'll come down to Cornwall and do a stand-up. Even in a stand-up, because I can, at this moment in time, I can take the piss out of this so much. Seriously, there is so much you can take the piss out of, and it is really funny. Obviously we've got this, sort of like election of a new general, coming up, and, which I find quite comical. And do you know that, I'll have to use terms that I don't necessarily agree with, but they fit from what I'm about to say. Do you know the story about Gordon Brown going to heaven?
No, I don't.
Heard this before?
Never heard this.
Okay. All right. Gordon Brown dies. And anyway, he's on his way up to, the pearly gates, if you like. And anyway, when he gets there, he meets this geezer called St. Peter. And anyway, says to St. Peter, actually, we've just brought in a new policy. And he said, funny enough, he said, you're the first one to, be given this chance of having this policy. Oh, so Gordon says, oh, what's that then? He says, well, what we've decided to do, we're going to give you a day in hell and a day in heaven. And at the end of it, you can choose where you'd like to stay. So Gordon thinks to himself, well, that ain't a bad idea. So Peter says to him, what do you want to do then? Did you fancy a day here, or did you fancy going downstairs for a day? He says, no, I'll go downstairs for a day, see what it's like. So anyway, he jumps in the lift. He says, well, you get... Peter says, get in that lift over there. So Gordon jumps in it. He says, right. And he says, I'll see you in a day's time. He says, enjoy yourself. Anyway, the lift goes quite a long way down, doors open, and out he walks onto this beautiful golf course. And, he's surrounded by luscious women. He can see people he knows. He feels very, very welcome. It's beautiful sunshine. The weather is perfect. He's got a beautiful set of golf clubs. And he puts the ball on the first tee, and he drives off, and none other than a hole in one. He can't believe it. Anyway, he's getting cheered by all his friends, and then they go strolling up there, and he's holding his head high, and he's puffed his chest out with pride. Anyway, about halfway around the course, along comes the devil. And he comes up to Gordon. He says, how do you like it then, Gordon? He says, oh, this is incredible. He said, I don't know what people have been complaining about coming to a place like this. He said, this is amazing. What a beautiful place. He says, oh, it gets better than this. He said, well, you go and play your next nine holes. And then when you get to the clubhouse, he says, I'll come and see you. So anyway, nine holes goes through, and he's only ones and eagles and all sorts of things. Anyway, gets to the clubhouse, and the entertainment and the food is just amazing. Anyway, at the end of the night, the devil comes up and says, do you like it then? Do you fancy staying here? He says, oh, yes. He said, this is super. He says, okay. He says, I look forward to seeing you. He says, well, you've got to go now. I said, you've got to go and spend your day in heaven. So go over to that lift and shoot up there. Peter will show you the way, and when you get, and at the end of it, you can decide where you want to go. So anyway, Gordon goes and gets in the lift. He gets up to heaven, and Peter says, right. He says, you've had a day there. He says, and you've obviously seen that. He says, you don't have to tell me what it was like. He says, obviously, yeah, that's down to you to decide. You have to make the decision without influence from me. He says, so now spend the day. So anyway, off he goes, and he goes and finds himself a nice, comfortable seat on a cloud, and it's just the sun is beaming, it's blissful, that it's so serene. He's got this he keeps getting this warm feeling in his chest that he doesn't understand, and everyone is so polite and nice and kind, but he's bored shitless. Anyway, gets to the end of the day, he goes back to St. Peter, and St. Peter says, right, well, you've had a day, you've had a down downstairs, what do you fancy? He said, well, I'll be quite honest with you, he said, I enjoyed it, he said, but to be quite honest, it was really boring. He said, so I'm going to choose downstairs. He said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm going to choose downstairs. He said, it was a lot of fun, and my friends are there, and I'm going to go downstairs. Peter says, well, if you make this choice, that's it. That's the end. That's the end of the choice. You know, whatever you choose, that's it. He said, yeah, no, I've chosen. So anyway, Gordon jumps in the lift. Down he goes. As he gets to the bottom, he suddenly realises he's got chains around his ankles, and he's wearing an orange jumpsuit. And he goes out, and there's this fucking bleak, wind-driven, sandy desert. And he can see all his mates, and they're all dressed the same with chains, and there's guards walking around them, and they're snapping whips by them, and they're digging out this sand, which is never ever in task, because as much as they dig out, it fills back in. So anyway, Gordon is collected by a guard and dragged over to where his mates are, given a shovel and told to fucking dig. Anyway, a little while later, along comes the devil. So Gordon turns around and says, whoa, hold on a minute. He said, this weren't like this when I was down here the other day. He said, this was a beautiful place. I had a wonderful game of golf. And said, oh, the other day. He says, yeah, we were canvassing.
And that is the nail on the head. It's what we've got to put up with now. Yeah, the election's looking a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what the turnout's going to be and what sort of shit all we're going to end up with. I'll be glad when it's all over and we get back to the misery, and then we can start keep pumping the truth out and hope we bring them down, and hope we, you know, to what you're saying, I think we've got to win. I think we'll win by default, John.
Well, there is something that I, about 18 months ago, I was talking to my dear friend Brian, and I gave him a probability. Funny enough, I gave him two. I gave him one about himself, and I gave him one about something that's going on at this moment. And the one about himself, all three parts fell into place, which was quite fascinating, which he was a bit shocked about. And I said, well, no, I didn't predict anything. I just told you a probability, something that could possibly happen. And the funny thing is, the other thing I told him was in multiple parts, and at this moment in time, every single part has dropped into place. So if I am correct in what I have concluded, then there is going to be a bit of a shake-up latter part of this year, early 2016. Definitely, without a doubt.
I missed that last part, John, because I was reading questions in the chat box.
There's definitely going to be a shake-up the latter part of this year or early into 2016.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'm not going to say I don't want to suggest. All I'm going to say is that the accusations towards Prince Andrew are part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
In a big way. And another gentleman is our old friend Tony Blair.
Yeah.
So if it's, and it's exactly what I say at your table not a week ago and told you, if you remember right.
Yes, I do. I agree. I think you're
so
right.
So you do know what I'm talking about. Obviously, everybody else doesn't. But, you know, you've obviously. And I was going to say to you, my friend, I wouldn't mind popping down and seeing you very soon, actually.
You're most welcome, John.
And do you fancy a paddle at Mars Island?
Yeah, more than that. Yeah, we'll do that flat walk I told you about. It's really strange down there.
No, what? We need to do that because I found that most interesting.
Yeah.
I absolutely found that most interesting, the fact that you can walk that far out and the water is still only sort of like...
That's right, it's flat. You can almost walk to the mountain as you walk out. I mean, I just know this from being a kid when I was paddling down there.
Yeah.
You get into the water, you're 6 inches deep, and then by the time you can go so far out, and hardly the water comes up at all. It's very flat there. Pat Velden, Pat's asking, would John agree that the so-called Freeman interference and act and statute legal effort contradicted his info?
I would if I understood the question.
I'll try again. Would John agree that the so-called Freeman interference and act and statute legal effort contradicted his info? Perhaps we leave that one for another time, John.
You know what, I might have to think about that one a little
okay.
bit.
Well, will you come back on again, John?
Are you asking me as a friend?
I'm asking you as a friend, and you're also being asked back at the chat box as well.
Of course. I would actually, because yeah, there's possibly a lot more things I need to, assimilate about myself, and I want people to understand that,
Well, I'll say it for you, John. Where you are at the moment, you're in a very difficult place, and I really, really appreciate you coming on tonight. It's very kind of you to do so.
I'm glad I did. Look, we've got a genuine friendship, and it is genuine. I've sat at your table, and with your lovely wife, and your lovely dog, and your beautiful cat, who absolutely adores me, which you find really strange.
I'm saying nothing.
I love your cat, and your cat loves me. But not love in the way that some people might. On my days, I could get into so much trouble with this conversation, considering it's a cat. They're called pussies. And
yeah, I know. We're not talking pussy tonight, John. look, my friend, we're nearly out of time. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been absolutely fascinating.
It's been a pleasure. I always promised you I'd do it, and I did let you down the last time.
Well,
I'm
that's okay.
Really sorry about that.
No, there's no problem.
Like I said to you last week, you needed to talk to Mick. Mick is a fascinating character.
Yeah, and I've still got more to get out of him as well.
He is probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah, super guy.
Very genuine, and he's one of my very, very cherished friends. I have very few cherished friends, yourself are included in that, you know that.
Bless you.
Mike is a very cherished friend, and Mike is the sort of guy that will do anything for anybody.
Yes, wonderful. John, I've got to wrap it up because we're coming out of time, so all I can say is for the time being, John Harris, thank you so much for being my guest, and we look forward to having you back on again. The Amash Files are up next, folks, with Joanne. She's talking with the Honourable Pat Haler, ex-Minister of Defence for Canada, on reality of ET and time for government disclosure. And then she's got a fab musician on, Merle Fankhauser. And she'll be talking about other things to do with ET abductions as well. So Joanne up next with the Amash Files, folks. That's the lot from me. Thank you again to my special guest, John Harris. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you again next week. God bless you all. Good night.